Well, 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 I got to say, when I started this week, I was pretty unsure that I'd be in front of this bloke, but for today, always a pleasure. Dennis Stewart, good afternoon.
Good to be with you, Mark. Always good to be with you.
All right, well, we'll have plenty to chat about today, but you do want to cover and canvass three conditions that particularly our elderly will face.
Look, I do. My practice sees a lot of elderly people, and that's great. I'm not exactly youthful myself. And what I have noticed is, with ageing amongst the elderly, we have a bracket of conditions that are very, very popular and affect our mobility, a sense of wellness, and we need to look at those conditions and see some simple things that we can do to support our medicos in giving us a better run at the money, if you like.
All right, and those conditions, poor circulation, easy bruising and painful walking.
Yeah, so. Typical conditions that... Ageing people experience.
All right, Dennis, let's get into it. Today's, of course, coming in very shortly, but let's deal with some of those conditions that plague our elderly. And what are we looking at the top of the list here? Poor circulation? I'd like to start there.
Look, I think this is a very important topic to take up because circulatory problems, particularly to what we call the extremities, can be very, very nasty as we get older. And be the prelude to some pretty serious conditions. In my many years of practice, I've seen conditions like varicose ulcers. I've seen people with Raynaud's syndrome.
Which is what, sorry?
Raynaud's syndrome is where the circulation is so constricted that people constantly suffer from very cold hands and feet.
Gotcha.
And the treatment for that is not easy, but unconventional medicine, if you want to call it that, in alternative medicine or complementary medicine, there are a number of herbs that are useful for that, and if I get a chance, I'll talk about that. But one of the most common things that I've found amongst people of my age bracket, perhaps a little bit younger, is that coldness...
That's the under 40s, right?
About that.
Yeah.
Coldness of the extremities can be something that... people suffer even outside of having any major health conditions or diseases associated with their extremities. People just suffer from cold extremities, cold feet, and particularly in colder climates such as Tasmania, it becomes a real problem. In traditional medicine, coldness is always seen as an unhealthy thing. A warm body is seen in traditional medicine as being a body that is predisposed to good health. So I don't take coldness lightly. In the extremities, I see it as something to be addressed. And fortunately, in those uncomplicated cases, it can be helped by a simple introduction of herbs that we've mentioned on this program before, that people that suffer continually from coldness of the extremities, with or without any major pathology behind those conditions, could do well to take on board some of the oldest warming herbs that traditional medicine has brought to us.
All right, we'll get into some of those warming herbs in a minute, so they're heading to the phone. First, g'day, Jeff from Wall's End. You have a question for Dennis. Jeff, what's happening?
Hi there. Can you hear me, guys?
Yes, Jeff, I can hear you.
Oh, hi. My wife has just been undergoing immunotherapy treatment for, and the stimulation of her immune system apparently caused her system to attack her saliva glands. So she's now got this really extreme dry mouth, and I think it's called Sjögren's syndrome.
Sjögren's syndrome, correct.
Yes. So we've got all sorts of other gels and mouthwashes and stuff, but I was just wondering if there's anything, you know, in your area that would help her as well.
Has she, or is she still using immunotherapy at this stage?
Well, not as of right now, no.
Okay.
Because of the impacts and the effects it was having and the
Was the Sjögren syndrome, which is an autoimmune disease, was that brought on as a result of the immunotherapy or was it the condition that...
It was brought on by the immunotherapy.
Okay, yeah. So she didn't have Sjögren's prior to this?
No.
Okay, so the management medically that she's having now, are they using any immunosuppressant medication on her. This has a bearing on what one could recommend or not recommend. But is she undergoing any ongoing therapy?
She's on a drug now, which is, I think it's a chemo pill.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of it. I'm sorry. Starts with a C. But they had to take her off the immunotherapy. She's not on that now. She's not on any anti-immuno, like steroids or anything. And she's just on this pill, which is trying to attack the cancer in a different way.
Okay. Look, in a condition like this, Jeff, it would be foolish for me to offer anything specific. But what I would be suggesting is that, and she could run this past the medical managers, for people that are undergoing immunotherapy or even cancer management, with their doctor's permission, I always recommend the use of a bioflavonoid called quercetin, which is appended by the enzyme of the pineapple called bromelain. Bromelain and quercetin combination is an important part of my treatment for some of these chronic syndromes where patients may, in fact, even be on immunotherapy. The use of those two things, in my opinion, is very safe. And whilst I can't offer anything more specific because it would be foolish for me to do so, those two things, if you were to Google them, would be seen to be very useful devices for covering some of the potential consequences of immunotherapy. Good as it is, there's sometimes a downside to it, and quercetin and bromelain have been very popularly used in the United States in various serious states. For instance, in COVID in the US, quercetin and bromelain was one of the major supplements used, particularly by those fighting against some of the adverse effects of vaccination, let alone COVID. So, look, run it past your doctor, your immunotherapist. I'm sure there won't be any objections to it. There's an off chance that it might help.
All right, best of luck with everything there, Jeff. Good afternoon, Margaret from Rankin Park. What is happening with you, Margaret?
Yes, hi there.
Hello, Margaret.
Hello. I have had neuralgia for, well over a month.
Yes, what sort of neuralgia, Margaret?
It's the trigeminal.
Trigeminal neuralgia, okay.
And very painful.
Yes.
I've had several different medications from the doctor, but they're not really working. Is there anything that you could suggest?
Did this come on suddenly?
Yes, but, quite a few weeks ago now.
Okay.
I did have it last year, but it only lasted about a week.
Okay.
But this just seems to be going on and on, unfortunately.
A couple of things to think about.
Yes.
As far as topical management, that shouldn't be totally discarded. The use, and you'd have to confirm this with your GP, but he would know what I'm talking about. The preparation known as Zostrix is used for the neuralgia associated with shingles,
and
that is a product that can be obtained from our good pharmacists. It needs to be used cautiously. But it is a real concentrated preparation based on the herb capsicum, which has a deadening effect on the area where the neuralgia is being generated from. There is a lot of science behind it. If one were to go down the pathway of using a topical application of capsicum, Zostrix, and perhaps other preparations, you'd need to be a bit cautious. Some people experience a bit of burning sensation with it that make it not that popular, but it's worthwhile running past your GP. You can get a couple of strengths of it, which might be useful to use the lower strength first. Your pharmacist could be able to talk to you about that. But it's one thing that I have recommended to people before with some benefit. Now, as far as oral medication goes, there is a herb, and I know it sounds strange. Many herbs have strange names, but this is a herb called Jamaica dogwood. Now, it's perfectly legal. It's not a well-known herb. It's very confidently written up in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia of 1983, which I keep saying is the Bible of modern herbal medicine, and mm-hmm. it has a reputation for addressing neuralgia of various forms, albeit depending upon the intensity of the condition, that would govern what sort of benefit you might get from it. But if you're in Rankin Park, you could get to see a herbalist or a naturopath or your pharmacist. If all else fails, you could come to my rooms and would help you out, but try your own people first. Jamaica dogwood.
Is that a tablet form?
It would probably come in a liquid form because it's not it's not what you'd call a retail herb as such. It's a medicinal herb of significant potency. So it would be prescribed in a liquid form and in a stipulated dosage consistent with that referred to in the pharmacopoeia that I've mentioned. If the only other herb that I would recommend is a famous herb made famous by a British herbalist called William Smith. He's dead now, but he was a wonderful practicing herbalist in the UK. And he always spoke of the herb wood betony, B-E-T-O-N-Y, as being a remedy to always think of for various pathologies associated with the face. So in my practice, it would be a combination of Jamaica dogwood with wood betony, supported perhaps by, as I've said, the preparation based on capsicum. Sometimes the less intense levels of neuralgia can be helped by a topical application of Hypericum, that's St. John's wort. The St. John's wort oil, it can be a soothing remedy, nowhere near as potent as what I've mentioned earlier, but sometimes adequate to see the thing burn out.
Started this afternoon talking about poor circulation, rather, one of the conditions that affects our elderly quite a lot. You pointed out that having a cold constitution can be a bit of a problem, and
correct,
that warming herbs may be the ticket here.
Look, I believe that. In our profession, we talk of warming herbs as being circulatory stimulants, and probably the most prominent herbalist in the English-speaking world, Simon Mills, has written on this in his book, The Dictionary of Modern Herbalism. Warming herbs can be understood from a pharmacological or a scientific perspective, but quite apart from that, they are those herbs that, over a period of time, will create a sense of warmth within the body which extends to the peripheries. And as such, for all cold conditions, again I emphasise peripheral circulatory conditions, the circulatory stimulant bracket of herbs should be considered either regularly in the diet, or because that's not as popular as it should be, they can be taken as a supplement. And I would be recommending to those interested in this topic of taking warming herbs to promote improvement in circulation, particularly to the peripheries, they think about simple things like the regular use of ginger tea. Ginger is a great circulatory stimulant. It will create a sense of warmth when persevered within the peripheries. So ginger as a tea, or ginger capsules, or cayenne capsules. Cayenne, capsicum, people say, oh, I don't like chili. If you take the capsicum as a capsule, you tend to bypass that so-called unpleasantness, and there's no better circulatory stimulant in herbal medicine than that inexpensive and universally used circulatory stimulant known as cayenne. They're warming herbs which, if taken more regularly as supplements or in our diet, will save a lot of problems associated with constitutional coldness and coldness of the circulation, which can be a precursor to pretty serious problems. So there's a little bit of an emphasis and encouragement for listeners to take on board the characteristics of ethnic diets, the diets of the Mediterranean, the diets of Asia, all of which incorporate circulatory stimulant herbs as part of their diet, and as a result, don't suffer as many peripheral circulatory problems, I would contend, as we Anglos.
Yeah, it also sounds a bit of a South American influence in there as well, I
guess. Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm. Tacos, anybody? Getting hungry now. Couple of minutes left. Don't wait until right on 1 o'clock. It will be far too late. In the meanwhile, Dennis, you're sort of batting through some of these conditions that prevail amongst our elderly.
Yeah.
Number one will be no stranger to anybody, easy bruising.
And look, this is particularly common amongst the elderly, and it's not always associated with any major disease. It's not always associated with medication they might take. But many people will tell you that they only have to bump something and they bruise and bruise easily. I put this down frequently to what's called capillary fragility. And I think a part and parcel of getting older is that we become more prone to bruising. This is my hypothesis, as a result of our very small blood vessels becoming fragile, and any decent knock can set off, if you like, a nasty bruise or bruise on the skin. And elderly people complain frequently about this tendency to bruise, and the bruise can sometimes take a long time to heal. Well, the good news is, and the reason I'm talking about this today is that it was only in my rooms yesterday that a lady who has taken this on board has had a remarkable benefit using one of the most safest and common supplements known as rutin. What am I talking about now? I'm talking about a supplement which is a bioflavonoid called rutin, R-U-T-I-N. It's a bioflavonoid which is the safest constituent in herbal medicine, in my opinion, and it's extracted from the leaves of buckwheat. Now, this is a specific remedy for capillary fragility, as is referred to in the pharmacopoeia, and only demonstrated in this patient I'm talking about as a brilliant and reasonably prompt remedy for solving a condition which was very embarrassing and very troublesome, and that was continual experience of bruising, even with minimal conditions triggering it off. So for the elderly people who are constantly battling with this, think of rutin, a bioflavonoid, easily obtained, very inexpensive, and in my opinion, probably the best remedy to take to sort out the bruising, the capillary bleeding that is characteristic of aging skin. Cheap, efficient, safe, and specific for that condition. Need to take it ongoingly, which is not a problem. It can be obtained from our good health food stores. Very, as I've said, very economical. And the other thing about rutin, the bioflavonoid extracted from buckwheat, is that it has a remarkable, let me emphasise this, a remarkable affinity to also promote improvement in circulation, and even in conditions associated with things like chilblains, Raynaud's syndrome. It is a remedy that has some great value, and if it is not used, people will underestimate its potential to address problems associated with fragile blood vessels, easy bruising, poor circulation, chilblains in the winter, rutin as a cheap, ongoing, not what you'd call a flamboyant supplement. It hasn't got a trendy name.
It's not very la-di-da, is what you're saying.
That's exactly
there.
Right. Okay. It's not a North Shore herb, put it that way, or Eastern Suburbs.
I do love that, Dennis. You use both descriptors there to say how to describe the cost of it. One you used very economically. I like that. Cheap. Don't use cheap. Use very economical.
Oh, that's a better term.
Good afternoon, Ron at Bolton Point. How can Dennis help you today, Ron?
Hi, Dennis. About 8 years ago, I had an operation for bowel cancer.
Yes.
I had 30 centimetres of my bowel taken out.
Yes.
Ever since I've had the operation, I'm always at the toilet. As soon as I have something to eat.
Yes.
I'm backwards and forwards off the toilet probably for 3 hours.
Yes.
I was wondering if you had anything that could slow it down. I'm on gastrostop.
Yes. Okay. Look, this might sound a little bit paradoxical because the same herb that I'm going to mention is sometimes used, in fact, to overcome constipation. I'm talking about the herb slippery elm, and slippery elm is a common, easily available herb probably one of the most popular American herbs, and it has a dual function. In a lower dose, it can in fact slow down transit time. In an accelerated dose, that is a high dose of it, it can in fact overcome constipation. Now, I know that sounds paradoxical, and what is a low dose to some people is a high dose to other people. Mm-hmm. Either way, if I were in your situation, and it will not clash, I'm sure, with GastroStop, I'd start off taking a teaspoon, say once or twice a day, of powdered slippery elm. Don't use the capsules, not because they're no good, but you probably get a better deal just using powdered slippery elm, a teaspoonful, a couple of times a day. That would be a useful thing to do. The other thing to do is that herbs that have what are called astringent characteristics, that is herbs that have a drying effect within the gastrointestinal tract, might be useful. Now, one herb that I frequently prescribe for diarrheic conditions, and your condition has more to do with the fact that part of your bowel has been taken and transit time, therefore, has been accelerated, but still, the use of the herb bilberry. Now, bilberry is popularly used in a sophisticated form to address conditions, particularly of the eye. But in European medical herbalism, particularly as outlined in the reference from Dr. Rudolf Weiss, bilberry preferably in a powdered or a liquid form might be easier, has an astringent effect in the bowel, which makes it a popular remedy in Europe for treating some levels of diarrhoea. Now, whilst you haven't got, well, you have got a degree of diarrhoea, but what I would say is it is safe, it is not expensive. If you can get the powdered bilberry, a teaspoonful of that, say mixed in with the slippery elm, might be a useful way to go. If you can't get that, try the liquid bilberry, which you would probably get from a compounding pharmacist or a herbalist or a naturopath where you are. Astringent herbs represented by bilberry, taken regularly, and try varying doses of slippery elm to bulk up the intestinal contents and slow down transit time.
All right, we are continuing with Health Naturally with Dennis Stewart. Good afternoon, Peter at Lemon Tree Passage. How can Dennis help you today, Peter?
Hi, Dennis. My friend has arthritis in his hands and his hips. What can he take for it?
Arthritis, is it, Peter?
Sorry?
It is osteoarthritis, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Look, try products that contain glucosamine and chondroitin. That's a good starting base. You need to be on it for about 3 months if it has glucosamine in it, because that's the time that it would take to assert itself and give you a hint as to if it's going to help you. It's always a starting base, in my opinion, with osteoarthritis, to try the glucosamine and chondroitin-based products, which are well and truly in the marketplace.
All right. And I have cancer. On an experimental trial, it lowered my immune system, so I took astragalus for it, and it worked like a charm.
It did it?
Yeah.
Well, that was good. Thank you, Peter.
All right, thanks, Peter. Best of luck with everything that's happening there. Good afternoon, Lynette at Stanford Merthyr. How can Dennis help you there, Lynette?
Yes, look, I have sciatica nerve in my left, it goes from the back of my leg right down to my toes.
Yeah, it's nasty, isn't it? It's nasty.
Pardon?
It's nasty, isn't it?
It's very nasty.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just wondering, I've got just anti-inflammatories, but I only take one a week because I know they wreck your kidneys.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if there's any herbs or anything that could help, because the pins and needles from the knee down to the toes is just unbearable.
Oh, that's no good. Look, Lynette, one of the main herbs that's used to address sciatica, to relieve some of the neurological pain, is a herb that has a weird name. It's called Devil's Claw. A lot of herbs have a weird name. Its botanical name is Harpagophytum, but it's better to be known as Devil's Claw. It is combined frequently with an American herb called black cohosh, C-O-H-O-S-H.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, there is also put into it some willow bark. Those three herbs are usually combined in liquid form, and you'd be able to get them in Cessnock from Bowen's Clinic. I'm sure they'd be able to put that together for you.
Yeah.
That would be taken as an oral medication, and that clinic would be able to work out for you the dosage. Secondly, you should try a preparation that has capsicum and capsicum in it and arnica. Arnica and capsicum as a topical preparation, that is something like Pain Away, Stiff Sore and Sorry. They're useful to subdue some of the generation of the pain, and a good topical agent to support the oral medication you're taking. I think that would be a starting base.
Okay, what was the second one? Capsicum and...
Oh, capsicum and arnica. They're the two herbs that are frequently in topical preparations. Both of them have some useful pain-relieving characteristics.
All right, best of luck for you, Lynette. We do have time for a couple more. 49216216 if you have a question for Dennis today. Vincent from Adamstown, what's happening there, Vincent?
Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Vincent.
I just spoke to one of your people in the office, I presume, regarding a reference book that you can buy somewhere, you know, with all your list of your cures and your your herbal
Look, a good starting base and an easily read text is known as the Dictionary of Modern Herbalism. Dictionary of Modern Herbalism by Simon Mills, M-I-L-L-S. Now, I have used that text in my whole lecturing career, and I have it on my desk. It is easily read and mentions many of the herbs that I have referred to. It is not expensive. You may, however, have to either get your bookshop to get it in for you, or I think we got our last batch from Amazon, and it was delivered very, very promptly. It's not an expensive work.
All right, best of luck for you, Vincent, there from Adamstown. Look, we have one caller coming through, Dennis, in a couple of moments, which we will be able to get to.
Okay.
However, your topics for today, we won't quite get through all of those.
Yes.
The third of those conditions plaguing our elderly, you will certainly be able to get to next week, which just so happened to be third on the list. What was it? We did the bruising, painful... Oh, I can't read the writing, Dennis.
You can't painful read my writing. How long have you been doing this program?
Oh, yeah, no, forever. Painful walking.
Painful walking.
There it is.
We'll talk of the topic under the heading of claudication, intermittent claudication, painful condition, very significantly helped by herbs.
And maybe something for my eyes as well. Good afternoon, Christine at Newcastle. How can we help you, Christine?
Oh, hello. Look, my daughter-in-law has chronic endometriosis.
Yes.
She has had so many laparoscopies.
Yes.
She's had a hysterectomy, a gallbladder removed,
dear.
And is in constant pain.
Yes.
And every time she goes to another specialist in Sydney, they give another report and say, oh, you then now it's ending up. You just need to stay on long-term endo.
Yeah, look, there might be a little bit of encouragement for you, Christine, in saying that when I returned from Sydney just before the earthquake, I saw a lady in Newcastle who was probably the worst case of endometriosis that I'd ever treated. She had one tube completely occluded, and in the other tube, the dye barely passed. She'd been under so many therapists and good men indeed. But the endo was going further and further. She was unfortunately unable to conceive, and that's why she presented to me, because she was married to a gentleman through a previous marriage and had children. She wanted to have children and now they couldn't. I treated the condition with a formula based on elevated dosages of a herb that I frequently mention called Vitex Agnus Castus. Vitex Agnus Castus. Now, it would be foolish for her to just rock into a health food store or somewhere and get something off the counter, because that won't work. It has to be prescribed in a stipulated dosage, usually in combination with other associated remedies, American remedies. That lady went on to have two children, and the good thing about it was the excellent gynecologist or obstetrician that she was under, a well-known therapist in those days, had no objection to her trying herbal medicine. In fact, in the report that I read, he said, "I have no objection to you trying herbal medicine because nothing else had worked." This might not help her, but it's helped others. And if I were in her situation, working with her doctors wherever possible, I'd suggest she consider using using a Vitex Agnus Castus as a major remedy in the right dosage, in the right dosage.
Okay, Christine, best of luck for everybody there. Having Dennis, we can put a full stop on today. We're pretty much done.
I think we have.
And a reminder too, after the news, I know you listen always on the way back to those healing rooms of yours, but Sally Lucas take you on a trip around the world, around the country, talking travel. She's off to Japan today.
Lovely, I've been there.
Okay, what was your highlight?
Oh, great. Going into a mountainous forest and looking at some herbs and feeling that I'd been there before. And I mean that. It was quite an uncanny situation.
Almost a spiritual awakening by the sound of
things. I think it was. I can remember it well.
And I think that's the first time, by the way, in 3 or 4 years of pre-promoting Sally with you, that you haven't just shrugged it off.
Oh, no, look, Sal does a great job. But if I could go to Japan tomorrow, I'd be there.
All right, that's a bit of a win. Dennis, thank you as always.
Thank you, mate.
Catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.